Hey, all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Wow, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. And I mean like to say this show goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gaston, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I got to tell you guys, you hear those ads playing during the break? Listen, that's part of how we sustain operations around here. So in case you didn't know, Right Side Radio, we are a standalone entity, all right? We are a business unto ourselves. The stations you may be listening to us on, they don't own us. We send them our show. But it takes a lot to keep going on what we're, you know, what we do around here. And part of the way we sustain that operation, again, is through selling ads. So if you're listening right now, you may want to know that, like, you're a Right Side ruffian listening to the show where there's an estimated 30,000 plus Right Side ruffians that listen to it every week. So that being said, you may want to consider whether your goods and services might get bought by somebody who listens to the show. And if you want to advertise a Right Side, we'd love to have you. All you got to do, you don't call the station, you contact us directly. You go to rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org, that's our website. Click on the advertising and contact tab and just send us a message, man. We'll get right back to you. We'd love to have you on the team. I met with our sales director this morning, talking through some of the things and laying out the plans. And we actually have some room right now. So if you want to advertise at Right Side, we'd love to have you. Go to rightsideradio.org. Send us the word. All right. So I'm going to go to the number two on the triple dipper. The toilet paper thing took up a little time earlier in the show. Just now getting through with Dipper 1, but we're on Dipper 2. Serious business, flashpoints. There are some hot spots around this world right now that you have to look at them and recognize that if something spills over, if somebody does the one more wrong thing, if somebody kills the one more person, if one more bomb goes off or missile gets launched, if one more rhetorical thing is screamed from a microphone somewhere, if one more entity does something that could provoke somebody to do something, well then, folks, I'm just telling you, these are flashpoints, and they could quickly spill over. It's like a powder keg with a match being held next to it, some of them. So let me just go through some of these and make sure that you're aware of some things that don't always come out big in the headlines, but they need to be known. And by the way, this one, I'll just pull this first. So Turkey is a NATO ally, right? Which every once in a while you look at and go, really? Why? Because they are aligned with us when it's convenient. Let's put it that way. Do we have an Air Force base there? Yes, we do. Incirlik, we've got a base there, and we go in and out. Do we have conflict over there right now? Well, we do in Syria on their border. And they don't like who we work with, the Kurds. And they hate the Kurds, and they're willing to attack our allies. And then they scream at us. And oh, by the way, they've decided because they've got some radicals in their government, they hate Israel. So this happened yesterday. It's not a flashpoint per se. It's just part of the weirdness of the world in which we live. I don't know if y'all heard this or not, but a Turkish lawmaker, and I saw the video, a Turkish lawmaker, he's the Saadet Party deputy. His name is Hasan Bitmez. He was giving a pretty fiery anti-Israel speech, right? Standing up there at the podium. They were supposed to be debating the Ministry of Foreign Affairs or something. And nope. Old Bitmez decided he's going to scream about Israel for a bit. And his words were, "Even if history remains silent, the truth will not remain silent. They think if they get rid of us, there will be no problem. You will not be able to escape the torment of your conscience. Even if you escape the torment of history, you will not be able to escape the wrath of God." Basically, what he was saying was, Allah will see to it that you, Israel, are dealt with. And then he dropped dead of a heart attack while the cameras were rolling, right there at the podium. Just turned and went, shabam. Yikes. It was like a lightning strike had happened.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, really wow. Like, it's one of those things where you look at it and go, oh, shoot, ain't nobody wants to talk now. But I thought I'd kick off with it because, and I did that because, not because I am saying, all y'all going to drop dead of heart attacks if you don't quit screaming negative things about Israel. Could happen. But now I'm just saying, I bring it up because the situation in some of these flashpoints is exacerbating tensions in other places that are not even involved. This is what happens when you have a flashpoint. Turkish government apparently cares about what's happening with Israel. Israel's the one that got attacked, but Turkey, a NATO ally, is aligning itself with the grievances of Gaza and the Palestinians and Hamas. And that's supposed to be our ally. And this begins to fracture relations. It begins to interpose itself in trade. And the next thing you know, you've got the opportunity for someone to say the wrong thing at the wrong time. And it bleeds over in a big way. And suddenly, we need a NATO ally, and they won't be there because they're still mad about that thing that happened about Israel. That's big doings.
I mean, he's got to be pretty passionate to get his ticker all out of whack like that, so cause himself a heart attack.
Well, all I'm saying is maybe he needed some of that Charmin Ultra Strong Easy Tear.
Yes.
Just saying. But the fighting in Israel, by the way, though, article here from Jerusalem Post. You're not seeing everything that's happening over there, but this is like World War II level devastation. This is like the bombing of Dresden. This is parts of Gaza are being turned into a parking lot, and I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like, you know, multi. Because you have millions of people crammed into an area half the size of Huntsville. And so you got all of these folks that are just like jammed in. Well, the way they do that is they jam them into high rises, right? They build high rise apartment complexes and you live on the 13th floor. Well, they're being destroyed. They're being brought to the ground. I mean, the place is a pile of rubble in some areas. And the battles have been epic. Jerusalem Post reports as of yesterday, too, there was one battle most recently where 10 IDF, that's the Israeli Defense Force, 10 IDF soldiers were killed in one battle when they were ambushed. It says, although the general battle of Sajaya, which is in northern Gaza, is going well for the IDF, and they've killed about 350 terrorists so far, it says, the military believes it will have most of the area clear of Hamas's major forces by this coming weekend. IDF forces were nonetheless hit by a multi-round ambush in the center of the Gaza City neighborhood district around 4:30 on Tuesday. 10 killed, 6 wounded. A mix of gunfire and improvised explosives. Says the IDF soldiers were under attack from two different locations. The ambushing Hamas forces even had video surveillance of the area, deployed multiple high points. And then there were three different groups of soldiers trying to rescue them that were also ambushed en route, 5 of whom were also killed. And it lasted several hours, 2 to 3 hours, although the majority of the deaths occurred within the first moments because it was an ambush-style battle. I mean, this is... We're talking picture Black Hawk Down is what you're looking at here. You're looking at major entrenched urban environment, no greenery. You're talking about it's all concrete. It's lots of high rises and corners you have to look around, windows you can shoot out of, and buildings that have been collapsed and devastated, and IDF soldiers in the thick of things. Meanwhile, the flashpoint gets a little bigger. When you think about this article from the Daily Wire, Hamas is a proxy of the Iranian government, and they admit it. That is, they trained them, they fund them, they encourage them and exhort them, and they push them to go do stuff. Same with Hezbollah. Same with the Houthis in Yemen. Iran is a fomenter of terror around the world. And Iran just threatened the rest of the world with what they call a big explosion. So the Islamic Republic of Iran, according to the Daily Wire, came out yesterday, says that a big explosion could unfold in the Middle East if Israel continues to hunt down the Hamas terrorists responsible for murdering 1,200 Israelis. They say, quote, at least every week we receive a message from the U.S. telling us that U.S. bases in Syria and Iraq are targeted by some groups, says Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amrib Dalahalian. He says at any moment there's a possibility of a big explosion in the region. One not controllable by any party. We do not recognize Israel as a government. It has been occupying power for 75 years. And he says that the reason why Iran backs terrorist groups it basically is because they're defending the Arabs and the Muslim people of Gaza. So that's Iran telling the world, yeah, we support them. And yeah, we don't recognize Israel's right to sovereignty. And oh, by the way, we're proud of it. And hey, you keep pushing, and there may be a so-called quote-unquote big explosion in the Middle East. Y'all, that's a flashpoint if I've ever heard one. Absolutely. And then it gets worse when you look at what's already happening in the Red Sea. Story here from the AP News. A missile fired by Yemen's Houthi rebels. By the way, keep in mind that the Houthi rebels were put on the terrorism list by President Trump, and within a month of taking office, they were taken off the terrorism list by President Biden. Why? Because he was trying to appease Iran. Oh, that thing that Trump did? Hey, don't worry. We'll take care of it. We'll just take them off that nasty list so there's no more sanctions. Well, they're shooting at ships now, just so you know. A missile fired by Yemen's Houthi rebels slammed into a Norwegian flag tanker in the Red Sea off the coast of Yemen near a key maritime choke point. The assault on the oil and chemical tanker expands a campaign by the Iranian-backed rebels that are targeting ships close to the Bab el-Mandeb Strait into apparently now striking that they have no clear into apparently now striking those that have no clear ties to Israel. In other words, this tanker had nothing to do with Israel. It's just the Houthis decide they're going to create chaos and try to create distraction. Houthi military spokesman Brigadier General Yahya Sari issued a video statement saying the rebels only fired on the vessel when it rejected all warning calls. Warning calls for what? The U.S. Military Central Command said an anti-ship cruise missile launched from a Houthi-controlled area in Yemen did, in fact, hit the Strinda. And so now we've got U.S. ships that are having to run maritime security for tankers that have nothing to do with the war in Israel, to include, by the way, story here on the AP from a couple weeks ago. Three commercial ships hit by missiles and Houthi attacks. U.S. warship shoots down three drones. So, yeah, one of our early Burke class destroyers, the USS Kearney, detected a ballistic missile fired from a Houthi-controlled area of Yemen. The missile hit near the ship. And also, by the way, multiple commercial-flagged oil tankers hit by Houthi rebels. Just saying. It's a flashpoint.
Yeah, tankers not really, like the little thing called an oil spill, that's not real good. I mean, don't shoot at ships anyways, but you shoot at a tanker, that's a lot of problems.
Where are the environmentalists right now? Hey, Houthis, stop that. You trying to tear up the environment. You're going to affect climate change. We're going to have, you know, fish and ducks swimming in oil. What's going on? Nothing. You know why? Because the liberals never call out this kind of stuff. Take us to a break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back. I got a little bit more you might want to hear. Has China been hacking systems in the U.S.? Well, by God, apparently they have. We'll talk about it. I'll even get some audio for you on that one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, I got to tell you about our friends at Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of our listening area, which is a big listening area. I mean, they're in locations like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, five locations around the Birmingham area. Listen, Southern Immediate Care is open 7 days a week, y'all, which is epic good, because if you get sick on the weekend, you don't want to wait till Monday. Southern Immediate Care. And they'll see all ages, by the way. I like to say it's pediatric to geriatric. They'll see all of them. And by the way, this is who I use personally. And I don't use them because they advertise. I got them to advertise because I'd been using them and was so pleased. Every time I've walked in the door of a Southern Immediate Care facility, it's like I'm always so impressed by how clean, how friendly, how professional they are. You can get your shots and your x-rays right there on the spot. So Southern Immediate Care. You need medical attention. I just want to encourage you. Check them out. Find the location nearest to you online and head on down there. They will take care of you. And do me a favor. When you're talking to them, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Southern Immediate Care. I'm going to do this section flashpoints here for a few more minutes. Here's another thing that's just really bugging me. And I even heard the other day, someone said that we are technically at war with Iran right now. And we are technically being attacked by China right now. China is being accused right now. Fox News, story here, December 11th, 2 days ago. Fox News is being accused, is stating that the U.S. is alarmed as China is hacking our critical systems. If you haven't already heard, cyber attacks have been occurring around the nation. Places like, you know, oil and gas pipelines on the West Coast, water utility companies in Hawaii. They had something over on the East Coast, and I'm trying to think what it was right now. But what they're doing is they're hacking into critical infrastructure, and they're bypassing things that might be considered national scale, and they're hitting them at the local level because they know what a chaos it can bring. And they're finding any number of ways in. Well, the director of the DHS Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency is reported saying that what we're seeing right now is a significant change in Chinese cyber activity from what it was 7 to 10 years ago. When it used to be primarily political and economic, now they're threatening, this campaign is a threatening campaign to establish a pre-positioned advantage in order to trigger a cascading cyber attack that could compromise American infrastructure. In fact, some are saying that it actually is a preliminary. And I've got a piece right here I want to play. And Butters, I cannot recall who's the representative. Do you see it in the clip you got right there? If not, we're just going to play it. It's Fox Business. You can see it. What you got?
I think it's Representative Carlos. Is it Jimenez?
Oh, Jimenez. Yeah,
Jimenez.
That's right. Thank you. A Republican who has some deep concerns about this being interviewed on Fox Business. Go ahead and play it.
On China and House Homeland Security, Congressman Carlos Jimenez, your reaction to that report, because this is concerning and rattling lawmakers in D.C., and also we're hearing the White House as well, that China, also on top of all what Jillian reported, also tried to break into the operator of the Texas power grid. They operate independently from electrical systems in the rest of the U.S. We understand it's the U.S. electrical system is not connected. But the level of China's intrusion here and their intent is deeply worrying.
Yes, it is. And today we had a hearing in Homeland Security on the cybersecurity issues here in the United States. And yeah, it's becoming more and more apparent to us that China is preparing to launch some kind of a all-out cyber attack on the United States if, in fact, we find ourselves in conflict with them over Taiwan. And what's really scary about it is that it used to take an army of folks launching all of these attacks against us, but now with artificial intelligence, you know, just a handful of people can start to launch cyber attacks all over across the United States using artificial intelligence.
That's plenty. So what you're hearing right there is a member of Congress talking about the fact that China has been hacking systems around, and they know it's China. They can trace it back. They can see where it's coming from. But these cyber attacks are not seen as something that is benign. They're not just probing. It's as if they are laying the foundation for what it's going to take for them to do what they call a cascading effect on U.S. infrastructure. Water systems, power systems, phone grids. You know, how do we bring down U.S. society? Shut off the GPSs. I mean, at that point, how does the ambulance find your house? How does the missile reach its target? You would be amazed at how dependent we are upon GPS systems. So is this a flashpoint? By God, yes, it is. So what I'm saying here is keep your eye on the prize here and recognize that your systems have got to be robust. And I'm talking about at the local level. Your little local water board that runs just your neighborhood systems, it depends upon electronics that tell people, you know, like how much water has been used, and they're hackable. And then you got the water purification systems that have GPS monitoring, and they have the ability to see online what the dashboard tells them, how the mix is going in terms of the purification status. Well, every bit of that's hackable. They start shutting that down. Next thing you know, you have your water turned off because they've got to go treat it, and they can't get the plant back up because it's been hacked. This kind of thing is the kind of thing that spooks an entire nation. Is it a flashpoint? Yeah, it's a flashpoint. And what China's doing is saying, basically, without saying it out loud, they're saying, mess with us on Taiwan, and we're going to put you back in the dark ages. That's what they're trying to do. Flashpoints. All right, listen, Scott Buttram just walked in the studio, so we're going to be having some grand counsel here in a moment, and my brother Scott is live. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about Alabama. And I mean, y'all, wow. This show goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. That was an epic Grand Council. You know it's good when we're laughing and cutting up so much that we didn't even get to the other questions that we had for the council.
Definitely pulled the show out of the toilet.
Oh, dun-dun-dun. Are you still?
No, it was great. It was great.
So those who don't know the opening part of the show, great segue. I'm going to steal it. So I will just say this. If you missed the beginning of the show, you may have missed one of the most virally funny episodes we have ever had. I did my monologue on what a great opportunity it is to live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. We are a first world country in which we can have ultra soft, smooth tear poo paper. Because Charmin spent 5 years researching what it takes to have ultra strong, ultra soft toilet paper that tears off without making a little string. And that's big doings. That's big, big doings. And then one of our texters called in to say, Champ from Decatur, to say that he had been a part of the case study on it. And they actually sent him toilet paper and paid him to poop for 2 weeks and use their toilet paper and see how it went. And it apparently went well.
It's been a doozy of a day, but yeah, if you missed that,
it's been a doo-doozy of a day.
If you've ever considered going to download the podcast, if you missed that, go hit up your favorite podcasting platform and download it.
This is the day. Yes, in fact, the beginning of the podcast always has my monologue. Today it was called The Land of Ultra Soft Smooth Tear Poo Paper. And then the segment thereafter with the text messages and the call in from Champ from Decatur, I was laughing so hard I was crying on the air. It was epic. Hey, by the way, before I go any further, I gotta pause real quick and tell you somebody else that needs to be discussed on the air, and that is ZLA Solutions. So ZLA Solutions, they are epic good at what they do, and what they do is they help you make your business better. And I'm saying that with all sincerity. I know these people personally. In fact, I'm probably going to see them tomorrow. But ZLA Solutions can do all kinds of things for you, logistics, warehousing. You know, they can help you with, you know, business solutions that help smooth and streamline your operations, but they can also help you with staffing. So they'll find you the people. You need folks, they can find folks. And I mean, like, they can find a few or they can find a whole shift full. They can get you a rack of people. Blue collar, white collar, no collar. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, all of it. So yeah, check out their website, zlausa.com. And see if they can give you a hand. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. And do me a favor, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Got a lot of text messages, got some breaking news too. So I think I'm gonna have to forego a couple things that I was gonna do here at the very end. I'm not gonna do this last dipper yet. It's too good. It's on the border, and I wanna cover that in detail tomorrow. But it's breaking news. One of them happened this morning, and that was Hunter Biden. The other one just happened in the last hour. And that is President Trump. So which one do I take first? I'll take them in order of when they occurred. So this morning, Hunter Biden was scheduled to give a deposition before a congressional committee. And if you're not familiar, as a lawyer, I can tell you I do depositions all the time. A deposition is where you sit down with a court reporter. You're sworn in. It's under oath. I mean, it's almost like you're in front of the jury when you do it, and you testify as to whatever the questions are they ask. And you know, Hunter Biden's under indictment right now. They expect that he might plead the fifth on some things. But he went and held his own little press conference on the steps of the Capitol. called out the Republicans for their mean, nasty tricks of daring to ask him questions and insinuate that his daddy may have gotten some benefit from his business dealings, which, by the way, he openly mentioned that, yes, I did business with China. Yes, I did business with Ukraine. Yes, I made a lot of money, and I had a drug addiction, and I made a lot of bad decisions, and I spent it wantonly. And then he said, and this has been a bit of a change, he said, my father has never been financially involved in my businesses. Oh, pray tell, why did you reword your statement, which was prepared in advance by your lawyer? And oh, by the way, then he refused to do his deposition and he left. He didn't show up for the depo.
Oh, wow.
He left the congressional committee and their, and this wasn't going to be a public hearing. It was going to be behind closed doors. He refused to do it. He and his attorney left. After they did their own press conference and called everybody out, then they left. Now, I gotta remind the world, how many times have Donald Trump's kids actually gone and given their testimony as required? Donald Trump Jr. gave something like 40 hours of sworn testimony in a closed-door deposition, 40 hours on the Russia collusion hoax. And Hunter Biden won't even show up. He does a little press conference and leaves. Classic. Because it's good to be a Democrat, I guess.
So is this one of those, well, it depends on what is
yeah.
with the financial...
That's exactly what it is.
Mm.
And they're going to try and rewrite, you know, the narrative by having a little press conference. His demand is, I want to do a public hearing in front of a congressional committee. Well, okay, we'll do that after you follow the normal course of events, which is do the deposition first, and then we'll have a public hearing afterwards. What he wants is the spectacle of Democrats taking up for him in front of the cameras. That's what he wants. He wants to make his own statements, have Democrats excoriate Republicans, make a big dog and pony show out of it. No, do it like the people you say you hate and can't believe they're MAGAites, and you know, and go do your man up and do your deposition testimony. Didn't happen. Here's the other breaking news. So Donald Trump, with all of his legal woes, and there's many, and they're a mess, and the vast majority of them, I think, are going to get thrown out for too much longer. They're going to go out on summary judgment if they're civil. They're going to be dismissed as a directed verdict or out of hand because no evidence is available to sustain the burden of the prosecutors. I think we're going to see some things nolprost on the criminal side. But something has happened today that was very interesting. So one of the cases that seems to have the most legs is the one that has a special prosecutor attached to it. And I think it's just a mess. I think it's awful. But it's all related to the January 6th stuff, right? Did Trump indeed incite an insurrection? Did he participate? Did he collude? Anyway, that's the one that special counsel Jack Smith has been appointed by Merrick Garland. Jack Smith just recently made a motion for the appellate courts to tell the lower court, whether or not Trump has the right to claim immunity or any kind of privilege as an executive. And this has gone up, and now he's trying to bypass the appellate courts. Jack Smith is. So the lower court judge, to her credit, just said, I now have to stay all proceedings. In other words, the case against Trump on the January 6th issue just got put on hold because Jack Smith decided to bypass the appellate courts and go straight to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court won't hear it right away. If they do, they may hand out a nothing verdict. They may hand down something he doesn't want to see. But what it means is Trump's case just got put on hold, whereas Jack Smith was trying to get it done as quick as possible so he could get this trial done before Trump gets elected. And now, nope, it's going to be delayed because the lower court judge said, I no longer have jurisdiction because you have taken this to the Supreme Court as a matter of, you know, it's an interim request. It's what they call an interlocutory order. But still, very interesting development, which is going to slow down Jack Smith's ability to put Trump on trial, which, you know, wow. Have I got a caller online?
You sure do.
I do. Is that? Oh, it's Jeff from Indiana. Jeff Rowe, how you doing, brother?
Doing pretty good, Phil.
Good.
Hey, keeping on the theme of crap today, let's talk about Hunter Biden.
Do you think he lives in the land of ultra-soft, smooth-tear poo paper?
I'm thinking he's probably wrapped in it. He's just like a big mummy. He needs to be.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, the old boy had his press conference and then didn't show up for the depot. How about that?
Yeah, you're a Republican in good standing. Can you have the National Republican Chairman anoint Hunter Biden with a temporary membership of the Republican Party, some kind of, you know, memorial, make him a temporary Republican anyway so that we can get him arrested and dragged before court somewhere?
Oh, so you're saying it's only going to happen if we can say he's actually a Republican is what you're saying.
Well, have you ever seen any Democrats dragged up for contempt of Congress?
It's been a long time, brother. You know, I even think back to Clinton being impeached, and it made no difference whatsoever. You know, it's like they're Teflon. They just continue. I'm still waiting to see whether Bob Menendez is going to be allowed to just stay in the Senate with gold bars hanging out of his closet.
Of course. I mean, he's got the D by his name. It's like he's like the Teflon Don, I guess. I don't know. But
it's his second go-around. So Hunter Biden, we make him – I see. Oh, he's on the screen right now in the studio. Hunter Biden, we make him a Republican, and then he no longer has Democrat immunity, and we get him tried quickly. That's what you're saying. I like it.
Yeah, that's the only way I can see Merrick Garland doing anything about it, you know, because even if they don't do anything to him and he doesn't get blanket immunity or blanket pardon from Daddy, whenever Republicans get back into office next year, hopefully, I guess the statute of limitations wouldn't have been already expired, and maybe they can drag him back then.
Well, you know, and here's the thing, too. He's got good lawyers, in reality. He's got good lawyers. And I would not be a bit surprised to find out that his legal woes are not going to be over before the election. And he probably wants them over before the election, because once you get a new administration in there, he's not going to have the luxury of the Merrick Garland protectionism that the Bidens have had so long now. It's just it's going to be a whole new day, in my opinion, at that point.
How long do you think you would last if they subpoenaed you and you denied a subpoena? How long do you think it'd be before you'd be arrested?
Oh, they'd have a SWAT team at my house. I mean, there'd be no doubt. I mean, the FBI under Merrick Garland's DOJ is heading out to abortion protesters and raiding their house in front of their children. And putting Catholics on the list as extremists and using the Southern Poverty Law Center to find out who the so-called hate groups are. So I have no doubt that if this were me, I would already be in chains and my life would be totally different. I'd be wearing orange.
Well, there goes that two-tier justice system.
That's why I say
we need to make him a Republican fast.
What does Dale always say? Dang, it's good to be a Democrat. But all right, brother. Hey, I got to take a break, man. Be safe on the road, all right?
All right, Phil. You have a good one.
You too, buddy. See ya. All right, we are taking the last break of the day. Come right back and put a lid on it. I got a few text messages I got to check. In fact, wow. I mean, I don't know if I can get all of them in. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.